Everyone, and welcome to minute 29 of season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic Reviews. Welcome back, DJ.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to talk about the great meeting of Hans Gruber and Joseph Yoshinobu Takagi.
Well, because we get to hear all about your classic. Classical education,
yes.
And we'll get to find out things about we'll get to find out a little bit today about the level of computer security that they actually have in the Nakatomi building,
or the state of the art 1988 security system.
Yes. Exactly. So, minute 29 begins with Hans being astounded by a very large phallic model, and ends with a computer screen revealing a secret. All right. So, yesterday we got a little tour through the boardroom of all of the various models in the Nakatomi repertoire, and everything ends at the Nakatomi building. Which, as we mentioned yesterday, is a nice scale model of the whole thing. It must have taken people days to put that together, if not longer.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that I guess that's the you bring a comp somebody you're negotiating with in that room. It's supposed to intimidate them because you see these huge, massive conquests of
Yeah, but they're in this building.
Right. But I mean, yeah. But you know, it's different. It's like, oh wow, it's not just the building. We also have this bridge in Singapore and blah 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 and da, 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 da. So yeah, that room probably goes on and on. There's probably more models that we didn't see.
Yeah. Well, also you notice that there's like a looks like a Japanese samurai statue in the back.
Right.
You know. So not only do they have models, but they at least this isn't one of those movies where the statues are going to come to life and save Takagi.
I think that's in the famous yippee-ki-yay scene that you get to see the samurai mask on the wall or whatnot.
No, that was Bruce Willis in a different movie where he used the samurai sword.
No,
Zezde, baby. Where'd you get this bike? It's a chopper, baby. Where'd you get this chopper?
Pulp Fiction by Wayne.
From Zed.
Of Die Hard. Minute by minute.
Why not? And then, who chopper is it? It's Zed's, baby. Who's Zed? Zed's dead. Zed's dead. I love his role as Butch there. It's great.
That movie traumatized me for a pretty long time.
Did it really?
Oh, that storyline, that kind of messed me up a little bit.
Because of the watch?
No.
Because of where
well, the watch also
because everyone got dysentery from a watch.
This watch, I have up my ass. Oh man.
Yeah. Okay, but let's get back into Die Hard. Even though I'm at fault for that one but why not? It's always nice to touch upon Pulp Fiction. What can you do?
Two members of Die Hard, the universe, are in Pulp Fiction. You got Zeus and you got John McClane.
That's right. Well, when we eventually get to Die Hard with a Vengeance, we'll be able to say that in this movie that we're doing, we have both of them. So yeah,
right.
I guess the two of them knew then that they could work well together.
Right.
Even though, did they even have a scene together?
What?
They actually don't.
No, they do not. No, he's
they're both in the bar at the same time.
Right. That's like the one time.
Right, but they don't really interact.
No,
I think Bruce Willis makes a comment about the fact of how they're dressed.
He's walking the earth at the time of that Vincent, and that's why Vincent's alone.
Right.
In the apartment. Yeah.
Oh, in the apartment, yes, but I'm talking about beforehand in the bar.
Well, no, yeah, I remember. That's right after they shoot Marv in the face, and then they come back. But
yeah.
Then later when.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler alert, Butch kills Vincent. Vincent's alone because Jules has already quit.
Correct. See, so it's all Zeus's fault.
It's all Zeus's fault.
Hey, Zeus. Why do you keep calling me Jesus?
Hey,
my Zeus. Name is Zeus. All right, so Hans begins to look at the models, and or continues to look at the models, and then he sees an even larger model, which is amazing to look at. I have no idea what it really is. You know, they mention it that it's their project in Indonesia, but they don't really go into what it is. But it's just amazing looking at that bridge. It's more than a bridge because you see like trees in the middle and a boat underneath. It
might be a city center or something. It's crazy big.
Yeah, it's humongous. And I mean, it looks even bigger than it really is because it's on a mirror. You know, it's on the glass that's on, you get the reflection so that it looks as if it's twice the size of what it really is.
Right.
You know, so you want to continue with the Hans dialogue from this minute?
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. I always enjoyed to make models when I was a boy. The exactness, the attention to every conceivable detail. It's beautiful. Is this what that's about?
Is this what this is all about? Our project in Indonesia? Contrary to what you people may think, we're going to develop that region, not exploit it.
And then he does again. This is the diffusion. I believe you. I read the article in Forbes, which is like he like Takagi is so like righteous indignation, and Hans is sitting back and goes, I believe you.
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't give a damn. Your posturing is not your who. You, there's no cameras here. I don't give a crap. I'm about something else. Okay. I read an article in Forbes was one of the most memeable Hans lines in the movie. The father of five, shoot Ishtavan fish to shoot the glass. I read the article in Forbes is another one. I love that.
I saw them on 60 Minutes.
I must have missed 60 Minutes. That's later.
Right. That's later. No, of course it's later. I know that.
I must have missed 60 Minutes. What do you mean?
Right. So continue.
Oh, sorry. Mrs. Takagi, I could talk about industrialization and men's fashion all day, but I'm afraid work must intrude. And my associate Theo. My associate Theo has some questions for you. Sort of fill in the blanks questions, actually, which I love.
So. Basically, you know, the way that this is, you know, Hans, as we keep saying, he's a businessman. He wants to get things moving along.
Right.
So it's fun talking to you, but I want to do something a little more productive now because I'm on the clock. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, he mentioned the fact that he, read about it in Forbes. So, I went into much detail last season about Forbes, so I'm not going to go into too much detail right now. Just to remind everyone that Forbes is an American business magazine owned by Integrated Whale Media Investments and the Forbes family. They publish a magazine eight times a year, and they have articles on finance, industry, investing, and marketing topics. They also have other reports about technology, communication, science, politics, law, things like that. But it is mostly known for its lists and rankings, including the list of the richest Americans, America's wealthiest celebrities,
right,
the world's top companies. The motto of Forbes has always been change the world. And its editor-in-chief is Steve Forbes.
Do you think that Hans was reading Forbes as a recruitment or a research?
Well,
and who should I rob? Who's number one on this list?
That's a good Nakatomi question. I mean, you mentioned about recruitment. He definitely didn't find all his thugs through Forbes.
No, I mean,
he was looking for guns and ammo or,
told Carl to hire those mercenaries. Carl's probably in charge of all that, all the muscle.
That's right.
He probably was looking for who should I rob? Who has the most? Who's number one in this Forbes top 100 list?
That we can get away that has lax security. Two security lack guards.
Security, liquidity. Nakatomi seems like one of those.
Yes. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Nakatomi. So I mean, I love thing.
I don't know if we brought this up. He had to do a lot of research on Nakatomi, right?
Yes.
And Takagi. How does he know they have...
Hey, we'll get there tomorrow. We'll get there tomorrow.
Right.
We'll get there tomorrow.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, first of all, the idea of talking about exploitation of the region and things like that, it's interesting that that's the first place Takagi goes. You know, that he thinks...
He's probably dealt with these people coming... Because, he thinks they're terrorists. So right. Terrorists would do something for political gain or something like that. They're not terrorists. Well, spoiler alert.
No. Wait till tomorrow.
They don't seem to be the thing that Takagi thinks they are.
Right. Well, because Takagi seems very confused as to what's going on here because of the way that this all is being, you know, given over throughout. So, I mean, something is fishy here. Something is rotten in the Nakatomi building.
In San Pedro, California. Something is rotten.
Well, we're not in San Pedro anymore. We're in LA. We're in Century City.
Something is rotten. San Pedro was enveloped by Los Angeles, so technically we kind of are, kind of, sort of.
No, it's the opposite. If one thing envelops another, it doesn't take on its name.
Oh, well, whatever. Regionally. Regionally, we're in the same area.
Yes, regionally, we're I mean, I'm assuming that San Pedro is not that far away, relatively speaking, but it's probably also not very close to Century City because of the difference in social classes.
Right. It's probably where Al Powell is stopping off to get a Twinkie. He's probably in San Pedro.
No, I don't think so. He's still pretty close. That's why they send Al Powell. You know, so San Pedro is 27.9 miles away from Century City. So it's about a 48-minute drive.
That's Miami to Boca. That's kind of like, okay, I can see it now.
Okay, so I mean, anyone who knows the roads, you'd take the 110 to the 105. Now, I know the 105 because of speed. That's it, you know. I think isn't the 405 the one that isn't finished?
Yes, that's my sister lived in California for a couple of years, and she was just telling me you can plan your trip. You can plan to take the 405. You're gonna get there in like until like 17 hours later, but you can take it.
Right. So yeah, no. So it's nice that they throw in the whole thing about exploitation of the region, because again, we can infer that Takagi's background is he's coming from a lower class and moving up to a higher class, and at this point, things are just, he should be more aware of dealing with exploitation and stuff like that. So
I like
how they just throw that in, you know. But at the same time, by the way that Hans talks, so it once again shows how highbrow he is,
right?
You know, because he knows about these type of things.
He's been flexing on him this whole time, but this is the time where he's going to get to brass tacks. I think he's going to reveal a little bit more of his hand, as it were.
Yeah. Now, first of all, I love that he calls Theo his associate.
Associate. He is his associate.
I know that, but again, where he's using business terms here. He's trying to make Takagi believe that they're in the middle of a business deal. So this is my associate, Theo, who will also kill you if you don't pay attention. You know, it's like...
Do you think Theo would kill him? I think Theo...
No, I don't think so.
I think he's just the... Even though there was a horrible car battery commercial where Theo was trying to kill John McClane. But yeah. I think Theo is just more of just... He's just the math guy. He just does the point. He crunches the numbers. That's all he does.
No, he's not even that. He's their computer geek.
Yeah, but like he has no qualms with Hans killing people or Carl killing people.
He's standing next to him when he shoots the John Larroquette doppelganger.
The John Larroquette. Yes.
You don't think he looks like him?
No, I'm laughing because it's pretty freaking accurate, actually. So yeah.
I love always looking at that scene and just saying, oh my God.
Dan Fielding just got shot.
That's right. That's right. I mean, he Rick Sassetti looks exactly like John Larroquette in that scene.
There's I'm no never going to not it. See it now. I can say, I can't unsee it now.
But why would you want to unsee it? It's great.
No. It's just John Larroquette is now in Die Hard. He's going to mess up my memory. Like, wasn't John Larroquette in Die Hard? No, he was not in Die
Hard. It's amazing how many times I've brought this up, even though the character died weeks ago. I keep finding ways to bring it up because I love it. I've always seen Dan Fielder in that place, and you know, it just works really well. And then Hans walks. I love that how as he's talking about all these things, you know, he's walking Takagi into the next room. You know, they go through the glass doors, and he basically says to him, you know, okay, my associate has some fill in the blanks questions for you.
Fill in the blanks questions. Yes. Actually,
now do you know what the origin of fill in the blanks are?
Is that a game show?
No.
Ad lib.
I thought of that when I was doing it because it does fit in as an ad lib, but right. No, it's known as a closey test, or it's known as a closey deletion test or an occultation test, right? Hmm. It's an exercise, test, or assessment consisting of a portion of language with certain items, words, or signs removed, where the participant is asked to replace the missing language item. It requires the ability to understand the context and vocabulary in order to properly identify the correct language or part of speech that belongs in the deleted passages. So, again, it's ad-libs. That's what it is here.
It's a nice way of saying ad-libs. I'm not a garbage man. I'm a sanitation technician, all right? Let's go with it.
Yes, it was first described by a researcher named W.L. Taylor in 1953. Obviously teachers use this quite often and stuff like that. So I'm going to do a little exercise with you here, DJ. We're going to do a little ad lib for you. Okay. So today I went to the blank and bought some milk and eggs. I knew it was going to rain, but I forgot to take my blank and ended up getting wet on the way. So how would you ad lib those?
Okay. I've done a lot of drugs. Okay.
Wait, today? Are you Ellis? Did you just do a line?
Hey, man. I went to the grocery store and got some milk and eggs. What was the second part? I forgot the second part.
I knew it was going to rain, but I forgot to take my blank and ended up getting wet on the way.
I knew it was going to rain, and I forgot to take my poncho. I'm going poncho because I don't have an umbrella, right? I forgot to bring my poncho. I'm a man who doesn't like umbrellas.
DJ, I was expecting you to do something a little more ad-libby, you know.
We want to put something weird in there? All right.
Yeah, of course. That's the way you do ad-libs. Come on, as a kid, when you did ad-libs, you did them, you put in real words.
I put in swear words, okay?
Exactly. Okay.
I'm a child.
That's what I did too. We all did that. You know, except for when it said like noun. You know, like you
can't I really forgot use. To bring my duty, okay?
There you go.
I'm 6 years old.
All right, we'll move along from this exercise. We'll let everyone fill in their own blanks there. You know? So send me your ad lib responses to the following. Today I went to the blank and bought some milk and eggs. I knew it was going to rain, but I forgot to take my blank and ended up getting wet on the way.
So, by Zoloft and
so send me them, and you know, on the final episode, I will actually read off any real ad libs that people send me.
The more creative cursing, the better. Don't just do the simple cursing. Make up some words, okay? You have.
Wait, we're doing the aristocrats here.
We're doing the aristocrats. Yes, exactly. At the end, you have to go the aristocrat.
There you go. Unfortunately, Gilbert Gottfried can't join us.
Oh, anymore, damn it! Know? Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, seriously. So Takagi sits down next to. It looks at Theo, and Theo, you know, first of all, this computer is really cool because it's like
in the desk,
built into the desk. As he's walking into the room, you see the top of the you know, the computer lid like rise up, which is really cool to see. And then we get the screen, which is CEO workstation. Nakatomi Socrates BSD 9.2 Z level central core preliminary clearance approved, subroute finance alpha access authorized. And then it says ultra gate key, and then daily cipher. So first of all, I gotta say it's pretty sophisticated for 1980s.
1988, yeah, there's a little sci-fi action that actually turned into something that's pretty practical.
Yeah, exactly. That they have here, you know, nowadays there are computer systems that don't have as much security on them. You know, where you have to have a daily cipher.
Well, you when know, you have that much amount of money, kind of thingamajiggy.
What money? What do you mean? This is a company.
Sensitive documents. You want to make sure they're backed up with as much security as possible.
Yeah, but no, I think it's just really cool the way that they, you know, that they present this, because it is a little prophetic the way that they're doing it. It's not right. What you would expect along the way from something like this.
It's almost like the only thing they can get, the only way it can get more advanced is if it's like the Minority Report table where it's just all hologrammy monitors. Because I mean, usually you bring your laptop and put it on a desk, but this desk is a laptop. Yes. Giant laptop.
Yes. And it probably like holds 8 megabytes of memory or something like that. You know,
maybe 8. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, come on, it is Nakatomi.
They did have a touchscreen downstairs, so I mean we're pretty much, you know, the upper echelons of technology.
That according to John Larroquette, you can, you know, find your zipper with.
Can find you help you find your zipper. Now that's I can't right. Not see John Larroquette talking about a zipper. Damn it.
That's great. I know that you are such a fan of this movie, and I've now changed the way that you will always look at this movie. So
did you guys
pretty
bring
proud.
Up the absurdity of the conversation they have in that scene where he's like, oh yeah, the 33rd floor, the only ones in the building. Why the hell you have me looking at the freaking monitor?
Exactly. We talked about that too. Okay. Yeah. It's like, why do you need this? Why don't you just send them up there and say, oh, you must be going to the people who are in the building.
Unless he thought he was like some kind of worker, technician or something. He's going to fix something because the building is under construction. But I always laugh at that part. I'm like, dude, you just wasted 5 minutes of my time.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So do you have anything else to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
All right. So the script, there are a few little minor discrepancies. You know, there's the script uses the word foreseeable detail instead of conceivable detail.
Conceivable, yeah.
Yeah. And he also mentions, Hans mentions that it's perfection along the way. There's also a point where instead of using the word of, he uses the word and, which changes a little bit of the, you know, he says, I could talk about industrialization and men's fashions all day. And in the script, it says, I can talk about industrialization of men's fashion all day.
That makes less sense.
Of course, it makes less sense. And, you know, and then the one last thing here is it says, Takagi looks confused. Hans puts a friendly arm around Takagi's shoulders and guides him into the adjacent boardroom where Theo types in commands on a built-in computer console. And then on the computer screen, it says, a computer screen spits out Nakatomi Corporation board workstation. Enter central computer code key. Blank, blank, blank. So in the script, it wasn't as sophisticated as it really is.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what we got for the script. So every Thursday, we do a segment called Off the Beaten Track Holiday Edition, where my guest will give another fun story about an adventure or a misadventure that DJ might have had at some point during his life about that revolves around the holidays. So what story do you got for us today?
You said fun. This is not fun. This is more depressing. New Year's is one of the most – though I love this movie, I'm not a big fan of the holidays. Christmas, not so much. New Year's, definitely not so much. Every New Year's I've had for the last 20 years has been awful. And maybe the worst one of yet was – I went to, or it was maybe 2009, maybe, and we were having a party at a house party, and it was going to be, you know, it's gonna be a great New Year's, and hey, we're running out of something. I forget what it was. It might have been beer or something, and we went to a Walmart that's 24 hours. This is around 11 o'clock, so I was like, I got plenty of time. It's 10 minutes away. We'll go to Walmart, buy the beer, come back right before the ball drops, everything. We go to Walmart, 24 hours. It takes us an hour and a half to get out of there. So I spent my New Year's in 2009 or 8 in line as the balls dropping in a Walmart, because all of the because of the holidays, they let all of the employees at the Walmart have 30 minutes, who were working that night, have 30 minutes to themselves, and they picked the 30 minutes from when I walked in. So I had to watch the ball drop while standing in like aisle 6 holding like a case of something. So yeah, that was like the worst New Year's ever. So yeah, Gary Marshall's not making a movie about that. I'm telling you that right now.
Probably not, especially if Gary Marshall isn't making movies anymore.
Well, no,
yeah, this is going to be a little bit of a problem. All right. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you, DJ?
Go on Twitter at trying to be DJV. You can search Simplistic Reviews at simplistic.reviews or simplisticreviews.net to send you to the same spot. Or just search Simplistic Reviews on Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, YouTube. We're everywhere. You can find us on there. Podbean, we're everywhere.
All right. Excellent. And you can find me simply by doing a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on my website. So, feel like coming back and finishing off the week again tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right. Excellent. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.